Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Hello, my friends. How is it going? I don't really know why I asked that other than I like to think that, you know, we're just sitting down and having a conversation and you are right here instead of me just recording this alone in my office. I mean, my producer is here, right? But he kind of keeps to himself. So here we are just having a little chat. And I thought I would talk about what I talk about a lot on this podcast, which is what is going on with my clients and what I'm seeing in the personal development space and what people are struggling with. And when I talk to the leaders of the world, they often offer me, where are people's work ethic? Why don't people work hard anymore? Where is their drive? People make requests, demands that no one would have made before the pandemic. They want to work more from home when that is not the new rules, when before it really wasn't an option to just work from home. Right? And they have come to expect the leniency. They have come to expect the accommodations that were given. And they've kind of all become apathetic and indifferent. What happened to good old fashioned hard work? They say often to me that they've just lost their motivation, Leah, and their drive and their commitment to the cause. And if you can relate, you are in the right place. And if you know someone that is experiencing something similar, maybe you share this with them. I often forget how much I appreciate the shares, how much I appreciate the messages and the likes. And it means more to me than you'll ever know. Getting this work out into the world is my purpose. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's what drives me every single day. And so I truly thank you and honor you for helping me support that. So I think the biggest thing to address in all these types of conversations is this blanket statement of all or never. Right? These statements, they feel hopeless and most likely create a lot of unnecessary drama. They also kind of feel accusatory, and we forget that no one is the same after a pandemic, that we all experienced it a little different. We all had our set of fears, our setbacks, and our opportunities. We all explored it a little differently. And we come out on the other side changed in some way. And so what would happen if we were to really just drop all of the drama, the all or never, or leading millennials is hard and they're all so lazy, or, you know, even my Gen Xers are, you know, developing some of the same habits that these millennials have. Like, what if we were to drop all that drama? Because that's all it is. Even though I know y'all tell me you've got lots of evidence and lots of proof, doesn't make it any more true. And just sit with the compassion of the now. Could we not then better understand what might be going on for them? How they might be feeling, what they struggle with, what decisions that they're needing to make that maybe create some uncertainty for them? How is their health? Their sleep? What are they worried about? What keeps them up at night? Right? Even if you don't understand any of that, or nor do you want to take the time to, even if you're not like them. Could you find that? Could you drop into it? Because what you can't do is you cannot drop into understanding and compassion from complaint. You can't. And what I find so often is that we find it hard and difficult to drop into compassion for others because we don't have it for ourselves. When was the last time you asked yourself these questions? When I turn these questions back on my clients, all too often, they've been too busy and concerned about what everyone else is doing and not doing, filtering through the lens of everyone and all or never and gathering evidence on how lazy everyone is and how they're all doing it wrong and how you shouldn't do that or you should do that. And this is common knowledge, right? That you should just come to work with a good attitude and work hard and not complain. I mean, at least you have a job, right? And all of those thoughts just create more drama and more of our own complaining. And I get that it's available, but there's also other options. And I'm also not saying that these can't be expectations, aspirations for our companies, for our homes, for our communities. But what I know about influence and persuasion is that without acknowledgement, there's just judgment. Okay, so when we talk about persuasion and the art thereof, we have to look at the couple components that make up maybe the persuasion formula. We have to look at the acknowledgement piece. It's the foundation of all of persuasion, and it rests on our ability to acknowledge others, to explicitly share our understanding of and our appreciation for their realities, their challenges, their struggles, their successes, before attempting to make a request of them. We must then encourage their ambition for a better future. And as we do that, we gain greater persuasion by sharing explicitly how their actions can bring them great intrinsic reward, personal meaning, passion, enjoyment, fulfillment, a sense of aliveness, and also extrinsic reward, social recognition, reward like status, money, power, social popularity, appreciation. And finally, we must overlay this, all of this communication, this acknowledgement, if you will, and this ambition with a high dose of energy. We have to share stories or utilize our tone in order to make people feel like wanting to do something on an emotional level. This persuasion formula is not hard, but it does require some intentionality and some conscious effort, which requires us to do our work. It is really hard to show understanding, compassion, and care when we are not taking care of ourselves, when we are wiped out and exhausted, when our concern for others' drive or their lack of affects our drive. If you are honest, do you feel like you tap in to the psychological necessity every day, driving your focus and motivation with a sense of excitement and purpose? Do you wake up fully engaged, right, with the moment and ready, on fire to make your difference? And if not, could we start there? And I'm not suggesting that your situation with other people is not real, that it doesn't present real challenges and problems for you. Perhaps they do lack the focus that you'd like them to have. Okay. Perhaps they have become apathetic, indifferent, and uninspirable. I'm not taking that away. I get it. I do. But rather than putting our effort into trying to fix and be frustrated by them, let's tap into what is available for us. No doubt the fixing and the frustration steals your fire. It can be super discouraging and stall your progress. It can destroy your relationships, and it can create these toxic thought loops. And that is when you must do this becoming work, this inner work. Because what I've noticed and witnessed in my life, at least what's true for me, is the more I find myself looking to where everyone else is doing it wrong, is the extent that I need to look within to where I can become. And when I do this work, it is a magic cure of not needing anyone to be different, to be able to meet them where they are with acknowledgement and encouragement and that ambition, and overlay all of that with this sense of energy, because I'm doing that work for me. I find it almost impossible to do that for others if we are not doing it for ourselves. And yes, you can do that by reading books, and you could do that by listening to podcasts, but nothing is impactful as doing it with a coach. Nothing. And yes, I get it. It sounds super, super self-serving, but I still believe in its truth. If inviting you to pursue your own becoming, your self-mastery, and stepping into the massive amount of possibility for you is self-serving, then so be it. Find a coach. Getting a coach on this stuff takes the stuff that I'm teaching here on this podcast to the next level. And there are tons of coaches out there to choose from. It's amazing to me that so many people, right, have worked with personal trainers for their workouts to stay physically fit, nutritionalists, right, to support their habits around food. They have a primary doctor to talk with about their physiology and body health. They have cleaners for their home and decorators for their spaces, business strategies for their policies and SOPs. But so few have actually worked with a life coach to better their life. And isn't that what we all want anyway? And I mean, I know I've digressed here, but, and I get I'm biased. I just know the difference in quality of life and engaging in personal development and self-discovery to learn new life strategies and make new commitments, and doing the immersive habit work has a ripple effect on every single area of my life. My physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, my social health, my financial health, my spiritual health. Okay? All right, back to the conversation. How do I get my teams, my employees, my children, my family, the people in my life to be more driven, to be more focused? How do I do that, Leah? You start with you. You start with asking yourself these questions, the ones that I asked earlier, that I want you asking to your people, your teams, your children, your families. What's going on for you? Is there anything pulling you from your drive in your life? Your drive for connection, for success, for fun, for adventure, your drive for your family, your drive to create meaning, your drive for your future. What's going on with your physical health? How would you rate? How would you rate your energy lately? Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe you're not eating well. Maybe you're not doing your workouts, stretching, walking, moving as much as you know you could. Are you meditating? Are you taking your supplements? Are you drinking your water? Are we staying up too late? Drinking too much? Eating too much sugar? Too much processed food? I know for me, when I'm not mindful of my M's, my meals, my movement, my meditation, and my mood, it is really hard for me to be inspired in my life, to be excited in my life, to be motivated and summon that drive for myself. And if I can't do it for me, how on earth am I going to be able to inspire it in others? Managing my M's is critical to maintain a high level of energy that is required to serve at the level I want, to love in the middle with compassion and understanding. Not to mention, without this level of energy, it is hard to manage the other areas of life that I'm going to talk about now. So what's going on with your mental health? Where are you finding yourself judging and complaining and ruminating? Where are you shooting on yourself and others? Where is your inner critic robbing you of the best of who it is that you are? Lying to you about past failures, asking you to believe that you are the failure, as opposed to the occurrence of which failed. Where are you drowning in worry thoughts, obsessive thoughts about either your past or your future? Where are you stuck in trying to solve the impossible riddle of the what if conversation? What if this doesn't go right? What if this happens? What if she does that? What if she does this? Where are you stuck in decision-making or the lack thereof? We don't just exhaust ourselves by mismanagement of the M's I talked about in our physical health. We exhaust ourselves in doubt, delay, and indecision of our mental health. We filter every single experience via the pathway of our thoughts. And whatever we offer up to ourselves, we will find proof of it in our life, which is why the conversation around all my employees seem to have lost their drive. All my employees seem to not care. They are all just so lazy. Notice all the blanket statements here. And we confirm all of this by finding proof that you are right. And I say this a lot, but just be careful about what you want righted. In our mental health, we must manage the D's. Just like in our physical health, we had to manage the M's. In our mental health, we must manage the D's. Doubt, division, distraction, delays. It's really hard to access our prefrontal cortex, our future loving part of the brain. The one where we tap into our creativity and our problem solving capacity, our intuition, when our D's are not managed. So don't be surprised if you don't have the drive you want when you've lost your mental focus. Okay? So what's going on with you emotionally? Where are you feeling frustrated, angry, resentful, bitter? Where are you quick to temper? Where are you avoiding? Where are you defending? Where are you needing other people to be better so that you can? Where are you buffering to not feel, aka overdoing, in an attempt to underfeel, right? In an attempt to underfeel, we overdo. We overeat. We overshop. We overscroll. We overwatch. We overdrink. We overwork. We overrun. We overthink. We overdo all of it. So I'm asked, Leah, how do you know if I'm buffering? How do I know if I'm buffering? And I want to offer up this. If you're doing anything against your will, meaning you know better, you're probably trying to escape a feeling or a multitude of feelings, as it might be. Meaning, if you know you don't want to, or if it creates a net negative effect on your life if you do it, right? I don't want to feel bored, so I'm going to go to the pantry and eat a cookie. That has a net negative effect. Just feel bored. It's no problem. Right? But now, when we try to resist being bored by going to the pantry to eat whatever it is that we want to eat, we're now bored and we've eaten a cookie that may or may not have a net negative effect. Okay? If we are not taking the time, right, or are willing to feel, process, and understand our emotions, we will forever run away from what makes us human beings. Instead, we will continue to be human doings, confused as to why, if I do all of these things, accomplish all of these projects, check off all of the boxes, cross off all the lists, why don't I feel better? And the answer is, you don't feel anything by doing. You feel by feeling. Emotional management requires managing your mind. We just talked about that. But also, an awareness of most of the danger we experience is not physical danger, but emotional danger. Knowing that emotions are not all that scary at all, but yet we avoid them as if they are, because our amygdala doesn't differentiate between physical and emotional danger. Interesting, right? And so, although We're not being chased by bears and fighting for our food. We are being chased emotionally and fighting away our feelings. And as long as we continue to do that, our brain will continue to be scared to feel. And we'll be trapped in park, the opposite of drive, because our brain thinks it's very useful to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and stay sane, aka no change. Say no to change, say yes to comfort. And sometimes this awareness alone helps us back out and move forward. My sister would always say, when she was driving behind someone going too slow, she'd say the gas pedal's on the right. The gas required to drive is fueled by your emotions. What's going on for you socially? How are your relationships? Do you feel connected? Or are you struggling with conflict and chaos? Connection is one of our human drives. And without it, we will feel lost. We will feel disconnected from not only other people and ourselves, but the very drive we're looking for. Peopling is hard enough, but we make it harder by way of four things. And I'm going to be going deeper into these four ways in my newsletter this month. So if you're not getting my Mondays with me, get on my newsletter list. And you just do that by going to my website at www.leahrowling.com, and you can click on, join my, subscribe to my newsletter. There's lots of other really fun freebies there that I hope will, again, just kind of take this work just that one next level, right? But I'm gonna share the four ways that we make peopling hard, even harder than it is. But we make it hard for ourselves with our stories about what we think, right? They, meaning people, should be. We make it hard with our illusion of control. We lose our power in things outside of our control, and we resist leaning into what we can. And so if you feel that you need control and you feel none, there's so much peace in this work. We also make it hard with our manuals and our people pleasing. And as I'm sure you know, our relationships greatly affect the quality of our life. And when we don't manage ourselves, we can easily lose our power to other people. And the last one is spiritually. How is your faith? I am a believer in God, but what is it for you? What do you believe in? Universe, nature, beauty in the world? Something. And I find for me a lot of the times, when I lose my drive and my focus, I need to lean more into my faith. Where have I lost my belief in myself and my future and the good in people? Where have I disconnected myself to my humanity, my humanness, by overdoing it? Where have I not allowed myself the peace and freedom to be? What would bring me back to center? Reunited with my purpose, recommitted to my mission, realigned with the best of who I am so that I can summon the energy to serve and lead and love with all I can? We can all lose our drive from time to time. Can we then take the time to ask ourselves what might be going on for us physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually? Can we be honest about where we might be creating unnecessary pressure and harm and become aware without judgment of the patterns that we run and just interrupt them with the truth? Sometimes it takes just getting out of our own way and reconnecting to the youest you. I mean, and that is the work of this personal development. This is the work that we do in coaching. And it's the work that we're going to be doing in May. I'm launching one of my very favorite programs, Becoming High Performing. And I want you in there. Every single human being on the planet needs to be in this program. Yes, selfishly, because I love meeting people and new people, and I love watching their life transform by way of all the tools and the assets and the frameworks that are just loaded in this program. But I want you in there because I know how life-changing this work is. And I want it for you. And I want it for the world. Because just think about it. How might the world be different? How might the world be more productive and have more progress and have more kindness and compassion if we all did the work to be the best that we could? And we stepped into it, inviting you always to recalibrate every day and reorient every day and choose on purpose who we want to become. Everyone can lose their drive. And I lose that motivation. And I don't want you to get mad. I just want you to ask what's going on for you. Is there anything that's happening to you in any of these areas that you could then shift with some perspective, shift with some habits, shift with some goals that orient you to your future? That's this work. That's this work. And so whether or not you feel like maybe you've lost your drive, or whether or not maybe the people in your life have lost their drive, it just always starts back with you. It starts back with you because it's next to impossible to get anyone else to steer and drive if you're not the one also steering and driving. So I hope that maybe you'll consider getting a coach, working with a coach. And if it's not me, no problem. But if it is me, I would be honored. And I would love for you to join us in our high performing program, which will be opening up in, doors are open now for it, but we're going to start in May. And I am doing a webinar this Friday, the 7th, and it's at 1:00. Central time. So hopefully you'll be able to join it or catch the replay, and I'll probably do another webinar as well. And I hope you'll be able to join us in there because you'll learn more about what these habits are and how to cultivate them, summon them, protect them, and live them and live into them so you integrate them into your identity on who you are. Because when you do that, it becomes unconscious, which is the habits that we want to have. And we want to have as many of those habits that lead to high performance, success, well-being, and meaningful relationships. So I hope you'll join me in the program. I hope you will snag a seat for the webinar. If you missed the last one, you can catch the next one that we do. Have an amazing one, you guys, and we will talk soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.